Welcome to another...
The official podcast of The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
Do you hear that, Earth? The Leaky Cauldron.
Just go! You're wasting time!
Welcome to Pottercast, your number one source for news, theories, discussion and interviews with people from the Potter books and films. I know a small amount myself, having written the books. My name is J.K. Rowling. I am now happy to introduce your hosts, Melissa, John and Sue.
Happy birthday to us, kind of.
Yes.
150 episodes old today. Welcome to Pottercast.
Wow.
Well, it's 150 for you guys, and what, 9 for me?
159. That's okay, Frax. You'll catch up. Kinda.
I can't wait till Frax's 150th episode.
What?
It's gonna be a long time away.
4 years from now.
Who was 150 years old? The guy that invented the Sorcerer's Stone? Somebody in the books is 150.
Flamel was 666, was it? Or not
666?
Oh. We thought Dumbledore was 150.
That's an age to be.
Is that who it was?
Flamel's over 600 years old.
Yeah.
We thought Dumbledore was 150, and then he wasn't.
Oh. Then he wasn't.
Then he wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah, one of those much. Aging potions to de-age him. I don't know.
It was magic. Go figure.
I
remember one theory that they thought Dumbledore was Ron in the future.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Not that again. Oh.
Red hair.
Red hair's Ron! It's Ron!
We talked about that, I think, on Pottercast 10.
Talk about a red herring.
Oh.
What?
See what I did there? Funny. Not.
Yeah.
It's a show.
Okay, welcome to Pottercast 150. We are as relevant as ever, guys.
Call them back.
3 years. 3 years into recording Pottercast, almost, in August.
Oh, man.
More.
Right?
Yeah.
3 years.
3 years.
Crazy?
3 years.
Yeah. All right. So, on this week's show, we have a Canon Conundrums.
Woo!
Yeah. A what? A Phoenix Files.
Mm-hmm.
Woo! And...
We hear from our crafty friends, right?
More...
Right?
Bye-bye.
Yeah, we hear from our crafty friends. And then we have more podcast acting troupe auditions.
More what friends?
Our craft-alongs. We have a new feature on our list.
Oh, crafty friends. I'm like, I thought you said something.
Oh!
And I was very confused. So, wow, that's a really packed show.
It is.
So why don't we get right into the news?
I say we jump
just
in.
Just in case you've never been with us before, my name is Melissa. I'm here with John, Sue, and Freck. And I always tend to roll R's when I say your name. But
Freck!
I like that.
Ian, let's do it. What's the news this week with the food?
Well, we're kind of in a lull period as we're waiting for the dreaded trailer, or the highly anticipated trailer, but in the...
Dreaded.
I know, nothing dreaded.
The
I can't
dreaded.
Wait for it. We're all waiting for it. But in the meantime...
Wash your mouth out with
soap. I know. It's taking forever. I don't know what the deal is. But we did see some new photos of the theme park that is still under construction and is now actually starting to gain some momentum. We saw a lot of scaffolding go up, and we saw what looked like the first building of a snowy Hogsmeade village. I'm excited. Chimneys and everything. Yeah. And Florida, who knew?
Who knew that Florida was housing of a wizarding community?
Well, I suppose it could be under one of those, like, cloaking devices or whatever they did for, you know, don't they do that for unplottables?
John, is there a wizarding community in Florida that we're unaware of? That you're kind of sitting on over there
none,
enjoying and not letting
none
it know?
Shall speak about this wizarding community unless they are residents of Florida, I'm afraid.
Oh, wow. It's part of the...
It's lots
charm.
Of secrecy. Though it is not immune to the Google Map program, so...
Is it called Sudden Valley?
Sudden Valley. That sounds like more of a salad dressing than a housing development.
I don't want to eat it.
I don't. I'd marinate a chicken in it, though.
Mm. Yeah, I would, too.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, what else?
This is just, earlier we had talked about Emma Watson possibly taking on a new role in a movie called Napoleon and Bessie, and they said on her website, no, it's not confirmed. She's interested, but no. So, I know. I mean, everybody was like all excited because they're like, oh, Emma's going to get her first screen kiss with somebody other than Rupert.
We don't want that.
She will have plenty for her to do with Deathly Hallows. I mean, she's got. If they do it right, she has to kiss both of them.
Right.
Woo. That's right.
Oh, that's right. Oh, I saw a drawing of some of that, like in the locket thing, and the drawing was a little more explicit than I imagined it. And I was like,
oh, where did you see this drawing? That may be why.
It was on LiveJournal somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It wasn't horrible. There was no bits or pieces. It was just kind of like, oh.
You know who did a beautiful, beautiful drawing of that is our own Makani, Heather Campbell.
Oh, she did a wonderful drawing of that.
Hers is amazing.
And my hatred still stands for her. Just kidding.
Oh, you guys should like team up and illustrate everything ever.
That would just be so funny.
Did you see her?
I'm sorry, what?
No, I mean, she did a Hermione being almost like cut by Bellatrix illustration, and it's beautiful.
Wow, no.
Really? I haven't seen that.
I'm going to have to look the link
you're gonna
up
have
right
to,
now.
You're going to have to link me. Yeah. All right, what else happened in the Suze?
There's still minor casting happening. Apparently, the Caro sisters has now been cast for Hapless Prince, which is, she's one of the Death Eater people that shows up later again in Deathly Hallows, too. But she was cast, so that's kind of interesting that they're putting those ugly people in there. I mean, you know. I guess they all, I mean, I don't know. The Caros are just like, they're two, like, thugs. They, like, take over. I mean, they help at the battle at the end of...
Well, they're a brother and sister.
And sister, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then doesn't she end up teaching, I think, in Deathly Hallows?
In Deathly Hallows, yeah, because remember, one teaches Defense Against the Dark Arts and one teaches Muggle Studies.
That's right.
And then they torture everybody and then... When she gets knocked out in the Ravenclaw Tower, Luna's like, "Oh, look,
they're pleased." That's right, they're pleased. I hope they keep that line, just so Ivana Lynch, who is fabulous, can say that. I mean, that would just be awesome. Oh, look, they're pleased.
Is it her or him that gets knocked out? Because I always, the two of them, I never know, I never remember which one's the girl and which one is not.
The sister gets knocked out because when McGonagall lets in the boy, she's like, didn't Flitwick let your sister in earlier today?
So it's the boy.
So
okay.
I think,
hard to keep track of.
They have similar names and, you know.
I just wanted to say, though, my trailer senses are tingling. And I just think that when this podcast will have aired, that there's a rumor that might be true involving a trailer. And I just think it's going to come soon, and I'm still going to stay with the June 16th, or not, May 16th. May 16th.
May.
Sorry.
Ooh.
Heart failure, everybody.
May 16th.
Disneyland Days, June 16th. Yeah. Last year was with June 16th. Yeah.
Aww. Disneyland or Disney World?
When is that, John?
Last year's day was June 16th at Disneyland. But no, this year we're having another one. We're having one at Disney World.
No, that's not fair.
Sorry.
Too far for me.
That's May 17th.
I don't condone that.
Oh. Sad.
Sorry, I'm being honest.
I'm sorry.
There was just kind of a sad piece of
news.
I'm
sorry, Frankie.
Well, we're on sad things because I can't go to the Disneyland thing either. But, Melissa, the books are not going to be on the New York Times bestseller list. I think that's just...
Isn't that weird?
Weird. Very weird.
It's crazy.
Wait, what?
It's the end of a 10-year era from December 27th, 1998, which... By the way, that's my birthday.
Oh!
Isn't that weird?
What?
That's
right!
Your birthday is December 27th?
My birthday is the day that the Harry Potter books first appeared on the New York Times bestseller list. When I found that, I actually found that out while I was researching the book, and I did a little dance in my apartment. It's funny. But you don't understand how long it took to figure that out, because I had to go, it's not something that's really often referenced, like what exact date they came on scene, so I had to go through every single week of Harry Potter on the list from like 2000 down. So it was really frustrating. But anyway, yes, they have been on the New York Times bestseller list since December 27th, 1998. That was Sorcerer's Stone, but it didn't hit number one until June of 99 when Chamber of Secrets came out because it was like a wave of publicity.
99,
yeah. Chamber of Secrets came out in the U.S. And then once Prisoner of Azkaban came out in September, it like sealed them in. They circled in the top like five or six spots forever. And then right at the end of June, beginning of July of 2000, the New York Times was getting so many complaints about them clogging the lists, about publishers being frustrated that they couldn't get their books on them, etc., that they split the list into adult and children.
Wow.
In some form, Harry Potter has been on the New York Times bestseller list every week since December 27th, 1998, and now next week for the first time ever, they're falling off them. I mean, look, it took what, like a year of maybe like three quarters of a year for Deathly Hallows to leave the list, you know?
I mean, now think about that. It sells books every week for 10 years. That is just extraordinary. I mean, I can't even.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. that's an achievement.
Wow.
But yeah, so next week, I mean, doesn't it feels like a bit of an end of an era, doesn't it?
It does.
No, nothing ends. Nothing ever ends. That's what I say.
No, they'll be back. They'll be back on the list. And if not,
yeah.
I mean, hey, it was a good run, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I mean,
well, wait for the encyclopedia to come out.
Oh, that'll come out. But the Deathly Hallows paperback is coming out this summer. Both of them. Well,
that's true.
The right. UK and the US ones. The US ones only counts, but still. I don't know when that's coming out, though. We haven't heard of it yet.
A separate list for that?
Okay. So what else is going on?
But that's about it. And all that talk about books makes me want to talk about books. So should we go do it?
How about we talk about books?
That is a nice segue if I ever heard one.
Once in a while, my brain works. It's kind of scary. Works.
So your brain works a lot more than you realize, okay?
Not always, though. That's the key part.
Okay. Let's go talk about books.
Now it's time for Canon Conundrums. Listen in as our panel tries to figure out one specific issue from the Harry Potter canon.
Who could possibly figure that out?
We're here with Canon Conundrum.
Pump up the jam sound. Pump it up. Just kidding.
We are conundruming about one of our favorite characters of the week. Her name is Poppy.
Awesome.
I got strong opinions on this.
Everybody has been really scratching their heads about this one for a long time.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and I just want to say, sometimes I'm like, why are you sorting people as
useless?
Guys,
it's fun.
What's useful? Tell me, what's useful? Are we trying to figure anything out anymore? Enjoying talking about some canon.
True.
I think we're talking, we're just kind of enjoying
things. Well, we're just
trying
to get as many on the record as possible, so when we ask the lovely Joe what's up, he can be all like, yeah, Poppy, check. Kimsor, check. Fedge, check.
Oh, I'm so, I really want to do that. I'm so excited.
Yeah, but Miss Poppy.
Yeah,
we're just being a sorting.
What house is she in?
We should sort the sorting hat.
You should draw this sorting hat.
Oh,
Gryffindor, though.
But that was totally Gryffindor.
Yeah, it belongs to Gryffindor. His hat.
Yeah. But they all enchanted
his hat. All right, so Poppy Pomfrey, I have opinions.
I have an opinion too.
Okay,
can
anybody
we all go around
surprised?
Like we normally do?
Do it.
You can start, Melissa.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Susan will like this. I think she's a Hufflepuff.
You know, I almost said that, but then I thought, you know what? It takes a lot of to know all the different remedies, so I thought maybe she's a Ravenclaw. But she doesn't have the compassion, so I don't know. But I'm kind of torn. She's a Ravenpuff.
That's what I'm thinking, too.
Okay, a Ravenpuff. And then, John?
Maybe.
I have to lean towards the Ravenclaw, to be honest. For some of the same reasons of Sue, is just I figure... You know, it's lots of memorization, lots of, you know, study to become a doctor or a nurse and
a healer.
A healer, indeed.
Doctors cut people.
This is true. You just totally called me out.
Also a lot of hard work.
Yeah, it is a lot of hard work.
And I'm there with Melissa. I think Hufflepuff.
Oh
my God, it's me and Frack against Sue and John.
Dun-dun-dun. It's the coffee and Pellegrino versus the butterbeer and the burrito.
See? I think I agree on that Hufflepuff thing, though. I agree about the hard work. You're right. I mean, she just never stops. She just goes and constantly passionate.
She's always, right, anytime they go there, she's just ready.
RTG.
She's got the cure in her hand. She's just, boom, she's on it. It's always... She's one person running an infirmary for a school of 1,000 kids, which is pretty incredible.
Yeah, and random infirmities too.
Especially
all these jinxes going wrong.
Yeah,
my head turned into a sea urchin. How do I fix it? Like,
especially when Harry Potter's around.
Essence of Dippet.
Yeah. Or no, when there's people like Fred and George around, man, when their spells go awry.
I'm a canary.
Are they
going to
call Madame Pomfrey?
What happened? I ate a canary cream puff.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, like, what was the one when, like, somebody tried to hex somebody and Snape or somebody and their teeth grew long, or what was that?
That was Hermione. Hey. Snape did that to Hermione. It was so mean. It was terrible. I hate it.
Oh,
yeah.
I see the difference, Snape.
So that's why I thought, well, that's where the Ravenclaw part came, because I see the compassion and caring. You're just instantly working constantly, and I see that's a very Hufflepuff thing. Then I think, now, how do you know to be prepared for all these random things that we're just talking about? That just seems to me you have to be really book smart and really just, like, have to, like, really constantly study. Because I think doctors really have to You know, like people go through med school just look their butt
well,
off.
Well, it wasn't when they were looking over careers in book five. When they were looking over the healer pamphlet, I remember them saying that it was it was pretty complex to become a healer. Like I think it's almost as complex as many new classes you have to take because you have to take potions and all that jazz. It's been a while since I read that, but I remember they talked about healers,
we must consult their book.
I'm gonna go get my book.
I think it is very complex.
What do you think, John?
And I nerd out when in those kind of stuff because I'm like, what would I be in the wizarding world? So I always remember those.
What would I be?
Yeah. What would you be?
I think I would be a wand maker, or at least I'd want to study wand making.
What about you, John?
I'm not sure what I would be. I would either work in the kitchens or be an auror. That's pretty much the same thing.
What?
Oh my! Would you be the head house elf then, John?
No. I don't even know where that came from. I just kind of spit that out.
Oh, it has been recorded for all Pottercast fans. No,
what now?
I knew it.
See, I'd be the one.
You would.
I'd be the one wizard in the kitchen. I wouldn't be an effing elf.
And you know what? They would.
But I would be the one wizard in the kitchen that gets the elves to do what I need them to do. I'll come up with their recipes.
It's soothing that a burrito would be in the kitchen.
Oh, you know, they're warped enough to love their masters usually, so.
Well, here's the info. Here's the info on healing, just to get us back on topic. I don't fancy healing, said Ron on the last evening of the holidays, blah, blah, blah. It says here you need at least an E in newt level in potions, herbology, transfigurations, charms, and defense against the dark arts.
See?
That's crazy. That means a lot of hard work.
It does mean a lot of hard work.
Yeah. Means,
well, I think it's that profession is probably made up of Ravenclaws and Hufflepuffs.
I would imagine. I think it's a very good assessment because you have the people who are naturally inclined just to retain this information, and then you have the people who have the heart for it and the determination to retain this information.
You know what's weird about the wizarding world? Think about it this way. If everybody in our world had to belong to one of four groups, everybody, up and down, had to belong to one of four groups, at least of the people who went to Hogwarts. You know, like, you that's like a classification you carry with you your whole life. That's why I'm not such a big fan of this sorting thing.
Oh, see. Interesting.
But just imagine, and somebody thinks something, and anybody you meet, that person was a Gryffindor, and already you've got a set of ideas about them that may or may not be true, you know? Sorry, that's a whole other topic, isn't it?
I think it's a valid point, because Dumbledore brings it up in the seventh book, about how, like, I think we sort to, or I guess it would have been the sixth book, technically. Or the time frame of the sixth book, but how we sort too soon type of thing. It's kind of like, you can't define somebody by their 11-year-old self, but I think it's just like your family. You don't pick your family, you know, and it brings certain stigmas along with it and certain encouragements, but like you're not confined to it.
But it's just so weird. It's just so weird. Everybody, personality traits being assigned to one of four categories, it's like if we all belong to the same religion and came of age at the same time and therefore had to go into a certain profession. You know, I don't know. This is another kind of conundrum. I'm sorry, I'm off the topic.
It's not off topic, and I think it's interesting because. But remember, the Sorting Hat does take choice into that.
True.
I know.
So it's not like you're being pigeonholed.
I get all that, but it's just strange to me to have a whole society of people who are divided into four general categories. You know what I mean? Mm. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Poppy.
Well, like when I went to school, they had different teams, like, but it was based on your academic stuff. Like if you were a superstar or you were an E-team.
Really? The whole school?
The Cougars. Junior high.
Weird.
Do we know if Boba Tones sorted people?
We don't know. We don't know if Durmstrang did it either.
Yeah.
I don't think they do, because doesn't Floor mention that?
They don't? Does Floor mention that they don't?
I think. Well, she mentions their uniforms and their houses, and they do their testing different.
Yeah,
so I would imagine
probably
that
different.
And it's about the four founders, so, like,
no,
that's unique to Hogwarts,
I
imagine.
I understand all this. I'm just saying. It's weird.
No, I'm just thinking out loud. I'm not correcting you. I'm just dialoguing with myself.
Can we get back to Poppy? I'm sorry. It's my fault. My bad.
Oh, Poppy. Can I just say this? This was one of the things. I always had a vision, you know, Dumbledore. There have been all these stories. Humphrey. And did she have like a? Did she hook up with? Would she hook up with Filch? Who did Filch like get with at the end?
No, the Filch was the librarian.
Oh, that's right.
Wait, is that canon or is that just a very established canon idea?
It's vaguely canon because they're seen together at the funeral.
Oh. That's just gross, that Filch.
So, there's enough reason to be like, but nothing to be like, oh.
Well, Pomfrey gives Dumbledore earmuffs, so for a long time.
Oh, that's right.
Pomfrey said that she liked Dumbledore's new earmuffs in the first chapter, or Dumbledore references it. So for a long time, people are like, oh, Dumbledore and Pomfrey, that's so cute. But we all now know that was not the case.
Well, maybe
but you
not.
Know what? She could have unrequited love, right?
Yeah, but
right? She could have
we know that Dumbledore was.
Dumbledore might have discovered his sexuality, somewhere between books 1 and 7.
No.
Except that we know that he discovered it way before that, John.
Well,
Grindelwald can kind of
he could have been teetering on the fence a little bit, or maybe
No. She talked about him having a lonely life after that.
Oh, right.
Yeah, she.
So there.
But so okay, but let's think about her though. But think about her. She's on call 24 hours a day. So her life is at Hogwarts.
Yeah, what does she do in the summer?
She's there 24 hours a day.
I think she goes to third world wizarding nations and helps them.
I would agree with you. I think that's an excellent idea. Third world wizarding nations. What are the third world wizarding nations? I'm so curious.
I don't know. Places that have magic where they can't afford to make wands, so they can't focus their energies.
I guess. I always imagine those communities as different. Like, it's not that they can't afford to make wands, but that they use their magic. Like, the wand is just a focus, and I would have...
Yeah.
J.K. Rowling has referenced, like deep African traditional magic, the Vini's family is
I totally agree
area,
with
so.
You. Because I always hoped that... that Durmstrang would use staves instead of wands, because you know how you all those like wizarding lore with the magic staves and stuff. It's just a way of focusing. Mm-hmm. So I wish like Durmstrang
probably could.
You know what I mean? It's just like a giant wand.
You know, that's one thing I got to say. This is random, but Goblet of Fire was just on television, and I watched it again for the millionth time. And you know how the Durmstrang comes in, and they have those big staffs, and they do that big dance and everything. I love that staff.
Yeah,
when
yeah.
you said that, I was like, yeah, that fits with them. That's kind of cool. They'll have, like, Gandalf staff, boom, or Moody's powerful staff of all power, when he bams in the world shape.
I can't stand that staff. I was going to talk about that.
Okay.
Okay, great.
Sorry.
What else is going on?
Are we
decided?
I think so.
I'm pretty decided. You guys...
So wait, are you guys still think that she's Ravenclaw, or you can sway it a little?
I still think she's a Hufflepuff.
I think she's Hufflepuff.
I'm holding on to my Ravenclaw here.
Okay.
I had early still said Ravenpuff.
Right.
I'm going to go Ravenclaw. I mean, I know that's unusual that me would say somebody's not Hufflepuff when I try to get them in at every chance. I know.
Oh, my, Sue. What's happening here?
Must be near. I don't know.
I'll say this. If she is Ravenclaw, I won't be shocked. I'll be like, okay, fair game.
I'll be pissed if she's not, to be honest.
Yeah, it'll ruin the books for me.
Oh, boy. Always.
I'm going to return them all.
I love this idea, though, John. I'm going to spread the rumor now that John wants to be the head of House Elf.
No, you totally twisted that. I said I was going to be the head chef in the kitchen.
Melissa, what would your wizarding job be?
Wait, I missed this. I was getting my book. What happened?
I'm going to be the...
What would your wizarding
my
job
My wizarding
be?
Job. I don't want to be obvious and say reporter. Reporter. I don't know. What would I want it to be?
Yeah. And you too, Sue. You never said you.
Oh, totally. I'm going to go 10 bar at the Leaky Cauldron, honey. That's it. I'm
That's
done.
Right.
Down.
You know, for real. I would like to work at Honeydukes.
Oh, that'd be cool.
I want to grow very large and give out lots of candy.
And invent magical candy?
And invent magical candy. Oh, my God. Yes, I want to invent magical candy.
That would be a cool-ass job.
I want it.
Beat mine.
John, you should open up your own wizarding shop, though, John. Would be a good John shop.
I have a wizarding restaurant.
That would be cool. Do it.
Oh, I would love one.
I'd love to have a wizarding restaurant.
John should do a wizarding restaurant. Oh,
that would be great. I would go eat there all the time.
Oh, why can't we do this? This is one of those moments when you realize that it is completely impossible for any of this to happen.
Hey,
none of that.
Okay, let's go on.
Okay.
Ruiner.
Okay, bye-bye.
I'm a ruiner. Goodbye.
You're a ruiner. A ruiner of lives. Here. She ruins lives.
Welcome, welcome to our bit by bit segment where we take a look at Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows a bit at a time. Isn't that fun? I like that title.
Ooh. Who are we going to sort this time?
We're not sorting, John. We've been sorting.
Oh. Everybody loves it when we sort.
Everybody loves it.
Oh.
I think that's such a... Oh, we already talked about this already this week, but God, it's so funny to read those comments.
I know.
It's like, it's just, it's funny because it's unpopular, yet I don't care. It's funny for me. It's funny for us to continue to sort people.
Well, we pick, I gotta tell you, the stupidest people to sort. I mean, Grubbly Plank.
Grubbly Plank, why not talk about Grubbly Plank?
You love her.
All right.
I don't know.
All right.
Let's continue.
Yeah.
So, what's the bit of the week?
Well,
guys?
We're still on the end of Chapter 11, The Bribe, and last we had seen Lupin. There had been the confrontation at Grimmauld Place with Lupin, and he went all huffy out the door. And
punch in the face?
Well, I don't think there was any violence.
No.
No.
Could have been.
There was no violence. But, you know.
What else?
This is when it kind of gets interesting, though, because he left the newspaper, the Daily Prophet, and then old Harry sits down and starts to take a look, and then what does he see? Dumbledore's...
What does he see?
A photograph of the Dumbledore family.
I just, every time, the first time I read this and every time thereafter, I keep thinking of the 2005 interview with Jo, and she said, Dumbledore's family would be a profitable line of inquiry. She was not fooling around.
Yeah.
Remember when she said that?
I do remember that.
And she was not joking. I know. I thought maybe it would be like one little plot point, not the entire seventh book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, how much would she have really talked about, though, if somebody asked, tell me about Dumbledore's family?
Well, I did. I said,
think she would have
said?
Should
we talk about that? And she said, no.
Well, I mean, if it had come up in a way, in a time other than that when she prompted you to talk about the family, like if she was asked at some other point, would she really just... be all cagey and be like, no, I don't want to talk about Dumbledore's family.
No, I think she would have been sly enough to say, like, well, you know, they've been gone for a long time or something, and have it be true, but have it dismiss suspicion as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember all the speculation about Aberforth. I mean, there was so much rampant, and we had no idea, just no idea what was going on. And then, you know.
Yeah, and then he was like a star player.
Do you think Aberforth was homophobic?
No.
I don't think
he... You don't think that had anything to do with...
Aberforth has no right to be homophobic, okay?
Aberforth?
He should not be anything toward the alternative sexualities, as they call it.
Yeah.
So
I thought it was only female goats he was interested in.
John, we know. We don't know. You can't say that.
The key there is female goats. So let's...
Yeah, I know.
Aberforth. If Aberforth is homophobic, he's got bigger. All right. Exclusive extract from the upcoming biography of Albus Dumbledore.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, before we get to that, I mean, Jo gives that description of the photograph. Now, I remember that there afterwards, you know, in all the flurry of discussions, that there was a lot of talk about Mama Dumbledore and that she had this her face had a carved quality about it. Like she was a Native American, you know, Harry said he thought she would. Well, what did you think about her doing, having Kendra look like that? I mean, I don't know. I was just kind of surprised.
You know... I'm sorry, I have to laugh because we a couple of weeks ago we danced around calling her a Native American because obviously she is from Britain, but now I know where I got it. There's actual words in the book. Native American.
Right.
Photos of Native American. Maybe she was.
Weird.
Maybe she was from an Indian clan in the United States and moved.
I guess that really is a race, though. Oh, I'm saying I sound so ignorant right now.
You didn't know that was a race?
I know it. I know it is, but I mean to suggest that there's another name for it.
Oh,
what? What are you talking about? Another name for what?
I mean, what were these people called before some European called America America?
They called themselves the people who live in America and didn't call it that. They called themselves the people who lived here. They had names for their tribes,
right?
You know,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, but there are, you know, well-known tribes in, like, you know, like the Mayans and the Incans and all these people. And they're not grouped in some lump, you know, we're the native, you know, whoever else is.
But, so what, I'm confused as to your point.
That happens to me a lot with them.
Why?
Sorry.
I'm just confused, Joe. I don't even know what I'm confused about anymore.
Okay. They're Native Americans. It's what it's the unfortunate thing that we call the people native to the Americas.
Can I just tell you what I was thought, though, when I was reading that? I thought, oh, that's cool. She picked that because she, you know, it's a lot of like a mysterious kind of mystique, you know, this kind of, you know, because the Native Americans are all very into their, or very aware of like a, like the earth and the powers of different kinds of forces out there and stuff. And they're very aware of these things, yeah. And it's part of their culture. And I thought, oh, this is kind of cool, you know, I mean, because there was that type of, you know, when there was that ignorance and not willing to learn about them and stuff. It's just, I just thought it was really cool that she picked that.
Well, it also speaks to Dumbledore's history. I mean, it sounds like people were also kind of wary and xenophobic about her.
Right.
And the whole idea of a Native American. You could just imagine the different kind of magic that she would know of if she was magical. She might have been a muggle.
Yeah.
You know?
We don't know.
No, she was a witch. You're right. You're right. I take it back. She was a witch.
But we don't know where she came from, though. I mean, we don't know. So, I mean, she could have been American witch. Why not? But then you see that part when they're talking about the boys and they're wearing their matching coat. I don't know about you, Melissa. Did you do this with your when you were with your sister? But did you not always dress the same? Did your mom and not
oh,
used
yeah.
to do that? I mean, God.
Yeah. Their pictures. Can't even imagine.
I mean, my sister and I used to, I used to call them the Nancy Sinatra boots, and this will date me, but we both had those white, like, high-heeled, tall boots. We always wore those all the time, and I just remember that. But our clothes, like our dresses, mine would be blue, and Barb's would be, you know, like pink or yellow or something. I always remember that. God, so it cracked up when I saw that about the actual, sorry. Needless trip down memory lane there. Sorry.
The exclusive extract from the upcoming biography of Albus Dumbledore.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Dan.
I'm sorry, Mold on the Wold.
Yes, that name.
I mean,
where'd she get that one from? That's hysterical. I don't know.
It's just hilarious.
It is.
She's just laughing to herself while she does this stuff now.
That's Mold?
Mold, like mold on bread.
Oh, but there's a U in there?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the British way of spelling, I guess.
British.
British love their U's, I swear.
They do.
Didn't they get like a commission every time that a U is used?
So they grew up in Mold on the Wold. Sorry.
Yeah.
And then they moved to Godric's Hollow.
Yeah.
All right, so Creature comes back with Dung Fletcher with him.
Yes, yes. I love it. It's about, we've been waiting for that, you know, because I love Dung because he's such, he's such a just like kind of revolting character, yet he amuses me immensely. And I just knew that he would be up to no good in this book. And I was like, yes, there he is. It's old. I love when Creature gets him back. Boom. And he's all stinky and gross and he's just amusing.
I mean, my favorite Creature moment ever is when he's trying to hit him with the pan and Harry tells him to stop and he's like, but one more for good luck.
Yes!
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love Creature. I love him.
I do too. He's so funny when he did that. That was hysterical. I mean, you're just after that sad thing you're reading about, then that whole scene comes up. It was perfect. It was
so funny.
So if we have no Dung and... in the movies, how are they going to do this, do you think?
Well, they'll figure out. They'll get the information to him a different way, you know?
Well, I want to see Creature, like, kick somebody's butt like that.
I would love that.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
But maybe they'll just introduce Dung early on. One establishing shot, it's a shot of him swiping something and you know exactly his role, you know?
Yeah.
What if it was like Mrs. Fig or somebody instead?
Oh. Well, see, because I wanted that scene, though, that scene when, you know, Figgy whacks him on the head with her bag of cat food, you know, and I thought that was hysterical, too.
Yeah.
So he's always getting beat up, poor Dung, if you think about it. But
oh, poor Dung, nothing.
poor stinky thief that he is, you know.
Of all the names that are not lovable, Dung. You can't love somebody called Dung.
That's why it's so perfect.
There's nothing doing.
He's just, you know, he's always, everything, you can't believe anything he's saying down at all. Anything he says, and it's just
exactly.
A perfect name for him.
Oh, gross.
Okay. But then we learned something really key there at the end. The very end, because this end of this chapter, I thought Joe was, like, rocking on this chapter, I gotta say.
Me too. Go for it, please.
I mean, they're like, okay, where's that locket? Oh, some hag, some ministry hag. And then when you read that line, did your not heart just go, oh,
yeah.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh, God. Bow on top of her head.
Looked like a toad.
Looked like a toad. Just so perfect. So, yeah. I hate her too so much. Oh, my God. But you can feel everybody, like, with the dread that now yeah. We're talking about Umbridge, if we deal with her again, then just the line, the scars on the back of Harry's hand felt, you know.
Yes.
Tingling. I was like, yes.
Isn't that the perfect way to end that? She doesn't need to say anything more because all of her readers know what that was, mm-hmm. What the implication
it's
was.
Great.
It's just awesome. And we're like, whoa, Umbridge. She is. She's back.
Dun, dun, dun. Here she comes.
Yes.
Riding on the back of a evil cat.
Yeah.
<You know?
laughs>
Yeah.
You know, I keep thinking about that song by Harry and the Potters. Hey, Umbridge, you're going down.
Yeah. Sorry, you're going down. Well, this is exactly what happens when we pick up bit by bit next time, right?
I think so. I think we all.
Great question.
Magic is might.
Alrighty.
Should we go down?
That's it. That's it from us. Let's wrap this puppy
okay,
up.
Okay, cool.
Hey guys, it's that time again for more of the Pottercast Acting Troupe auditions. This week we're bringing you the best of the male auditions that we had submitted. The mix of younger roles and adult roles for this week. You're just going to pick your favorites and we'll pull from there. We have 7 auditions to play for you this week of various ages, all male roles. And we will have the same poll on Pottercast.com for you to vote for your favorites. Starting with number 1.
What makes me say you know who's back? Harry repeated, looking Zachariah straight in the face. I saw him. But Dumbledore told the whole school what happened last year. If you didn't believe him, you don't believe me. And I'm not wasting an afternoon trying to convince anyone. The whole group seemed to have held its breath while Harry spoke. Harry had the impression that even the barman was listening in. He was wiping the same glass with a filthy rag. It was becoming steadily dirtier. Zachariah said dismissively, "All Dumbledore told us was that Cedric Diggory got killed by you-know-who, and that you brought Diggory's body back to Hogwarts. He didn't give us details. He didn't tell us exactly how Diggory got murdered. I think we'd all like to know. If you've come to hear exactly what it looks like when Voldemort murders someone, I can't help you," Harry said. His temper, always so close to the surface these days, was rising again. He did not take his eyes from Zachariah Smith's aggressive face, determined not to look at Cho. "I don't want to talk about Cedric Diggory, right? So if that's what you're here for, you might as well clear out."
And number 2.
"I don't believe this," said Hermione. "You're actually defending..." "I'm not defending what I did," said Harry quickly. "I wish I hadn't done it, and not just because I've got about a dozen detentions. You know I wouldn't have used a spell like that, not even on Malfoy. But you can't blame the prince. He hadn't written, 'Try this out, it's really good.' He was just making notes for himself, wasn't he? Not anyone else." "Are you telling me," said Hermione, "that you're going to go back and get the book?" "Yeah, I am," said Harry forcefully. "Listen, without the prince, I'd never have won the Felix Felicis. I'd never have known how to save Ron from poisoning. I'd never have gotten a reputation for potions brilliance that you don't deserve," said Hermione nastily. "Give it a rest, Hermione," said Ginny, and Harry was so amazed, so grateful, he looked up. By the sound of it, Malfoy was trying to use an unforgivable curse. You should be glad Harry had something good up his sleeve. "Well, of course I'm glad Harry wasn't cursed," said Hermione, clearly stung. "But you can't call that Sectum Semper spell good, Ginny. Look where it's landed him. And I'd have thought, seeing as what this has done to your chances in the match." "Oh, don't start acting as though you understand Quidditch," snapped Ginny. "You only embarrass yourself."
Number 3.
"Teddy's back there. Just seen him, and guess what he's doing? Snogging Victoire! He's snogging her! Yeah, I don't mind sharing with Elle. Teddy could have my room. Mom, I can't give a professor love. Outside, yeah, but at school he's Professor Longbottom, isn't he? I can't walk into Herbology and give him love. See you later, Elle. Watch out for the thestrals."
Number 4.
Now, do you know everyone? Blaze of Beatty's in your ear, of course. This is Cormac McLagan. Perhaps you've come across each other? No? And this is Marcus Belby. I don't know whether or not you've seen... And this charming young lady tells me she knows you. Albus Severus. You were named for 2 headmasters of Hogwarts. One of them was a Slytherin. And he was probably the bravest man I ever knew. But just say the Slytherin house will have gained an excellent student, won't it? So Creature went to the Dark Lord. The Dark Lord did not tell Creature what they were to do, but took Creature with him to a cave beside the sea. And beyond the cave there was a cavern, and in the cavern was a great black lake.
Ah, Teddy! Teddy Lupin! Snogging Ah, Victoire! Our cousin! And I asked Teddy, what was he doing? And he said he'd come to see her off. And then he told me to go away. He's snogging her! Mom, I can't give Professor love. Outside, yeah, but at school he's Professor Longbottom, isn't he? I can't walk into Herbology and give him love.
Number 5.
What do you think I'm at? Aren't I supposed to have any patience to reach the end of Mother? No, I know. I know. It seems unimportant to you. What I'm doing. What I want to do. Having a little difference between them. You don't think that... Listen. You think I'm crazy about the warehouse. You think I'm in love with the Continental Shoemakers. You think I want to spend 55 years down there in that Celotex interior with fluorescent tubes. No, I would rather someone picked up a crowbar and battered out my brains than go back mornings. But I go. For $65 a month, I give up all that I ever dream of doing and being ever. But I go. I mean, every time you come in yelling that, rise and shine, I think to myself, how lucky dead people are. But I go. And you say, you say self. Self is all I think of. Well, I tell you, Mother, if self is all I thought of, I would be where he is. Gone. As far as the system of transportation reaches.
Number 6.
So that's little Scorpius, said Ron under his breath. Make sure you beat him in every test, Rosie. Thank God you inherited your mother's brains. Ron, for heaven's sakes, said Hermione, half stern, half amused. Don't try to turn them against each other before they've even started school. You're right, sorry, said Ron. But unable to help himself, he added, don't get too friendly with him, though, Rosie. Granddad Weasley would never forgive you if you married a pureblood. Hey! James had reappeared. He had divested himself of his trunk, owl, and trolley, and was evidently bursting with news. Teddy's back there, he said breathlessly, pointing back over his shoulder into the billowing clouds of steam. Just seen him, and guess what he's doing? Snogging Victor! He gazed up at the adults, evidently disappointed by the lack of reaction. Our Teddy! Teddy Lupin, snogging Owl Victor, our cousin. And I asked Teddy what he was doing. You interrupted them, said Ginny. You are so like Ron. And he said he'd come to see her off. And then he told me to go away. He's snogging her. James added as though he was worried he had not made himself quite clear. Oh, it would be lovely to see them get married, whispered Lily ecstatically. Teddy would really be part of the family then.
And number 7.
Couldn't make us a cup of tea, could you? It's not been an easy journey. Budge up, you great lump. And here's Harry. Last time I saw you, you was only a baby. You look a lot like your dad, but you got your mom's eyes. I demand you leave at once, sir. You are breaking and entering. Aw, shut up, Dursley, you great prude. Anyway, Harry, a very happy birthday to you. Got something here for you. I might have sat on it at some point, but it'll taste all right.
Who are you?
True, I haven't introduced myself. Rubeus Hagrid, Keeper of Keys and Grounds at Hogwarts. What about that tea, then, eh? I'd not say no to something stronger if you got it, mind. Don't touch anything it gives you, Dudley. You're great, pudding of a son. Don't need fattening anymore, Dursley. Don't worry.
I'm sorry, but I still don't really know who you are.
Call me Hagrid. Everyone does. And like I told you, I'm Keeper of Keys at Hogwarts. You'll know all about Hogwarts, of course.
Oh, no. Sorry.
Sorry? It's them that should be sorry. I knew you weren't getting the letters, but I never thought you wouldn't even know about Hogwarts for crying out loud. Did you never wonder where your parents learned it all?
All what?
All what? Now, wait just 1 second. Do you mean to tell me that this boy knows nothing about anything?
Don't forget, guys, to check out Pottercast.com for the poll to where you can vote for your favorite audition this week. We have had a little bit of issues with the poll last week, and we will have a page up on Pottercast.com so you're able to vote for your favorites from each of the sessions as well. So take a look for that. Stay tuned to Pottercast.com, and more next week.
Greetings, Potter fans. This is Quietish from Leaky Crafts. The Crafty Witches would like to invite you to join us for the Leaky Cauldron's first ever craft along. Throughout the month of May, we'll be leading our craft-minded members in crafting and personalizing their own wands. The party starts May 1st in the Harry Potter Crafts Forum on the Leaky Lounge. Check out the crafts page on leakynews.com for further info and your supplies list.
Hey, John.
Hey, Sue.
What kind of wand do you have?
Big one.
Never mind.
I will open the door.
I just saw
what?
You do it.
Oh my god! I just saw it.
It's got a... Oh my gosh. It's got a dragon heart string in it.
Mine does too.
Sue, what was yours when you took it?
It came out to be maple and dragon heart string.
Mine is applewood and dragon heart string.
I haven't taken it.
Yes, there's a quiz.
Where's the quiz?
There's a quiz.
Where's the quiz?
And Frankie gave me one last night.
Oh, is that the link? Is that it?
No.
Okay, you guys talk. I'm taking it.
Wait, where is it?
I'm going to ask Ollivander's questions.
Wait, it's not in this chat window.
No, I got it.
How did you get it?
Because I'm magic like that.
Well, you accio'd the link?
I did, and then it showed up.
And then it shut up.
And
Which of these things do you most prize yourself? How much money you have?
All these personality things you have to, you know, but
it's,
it came out to be
it's
maple
quirky,
and
but
dragon. And I was talking to Frankie last night, and I thought, you know, I always envision myself having a little bit of dragon in me, even though I'm kind of wimpy. I'm like really firm about stuff sometimes.
That's true.
I mean, I'm loyal,
wimpy, Sue.
And I think that takes a little determination and bravery to stick to your guns.
So I have apparently my wand is maple, 11 inches, and phoenix feather.
Interesting.
Oh,
now read the description of Phoenix Feather.
I think it's because of my fiery personality. I put fiery for my personality. I think that was accurate. Mm.
Yeah.
What does it say about Phoenix Feather Chorus?
What does it say about Phoenix Feather Chorus?
Yeah, there should be a description.
Oh, learn more about your wand. Check this out. Okay, let's see. So you've got a wand, and you'd like to know a little bit more about it. So it's maple, right?
Yes.
And, okay. And maple is a favorite wood for magical wands. Has excellent longevity. Symbolizes attraction, luring, drawing in, or bringing things together. I think that's because I'm passionate. It has a very positive energy. This wand tends to choose those who love and who have a love or appreciation for beautiful things. An excellent wand for love spells and also for divination. Ooh, so I can, like, make somebody fall in love with me and then also divine our future? That's helpful. Okay.
Hey.
it's not good, actually.
There you go.
The phoenix feather. Comes from the tail feathers of a phoenix and is especially good with fire and defensive magic as well as healing magic. This may be due largely to healing properties phoenix.
Oh.
Right.
Read applewood.
About myself, I guess. Applewood?
Yes, that's what I was. I forgot what it said.
Your applewood is... Ooh, it's long.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Long description. It's an old English custom to drink the health of the apple tree with a good glass of cider and all in hopes of encouraging the tree to produce a good crop next year. The apple tree symbolizes youth, beauty, and innocence. Applewood wands are well suited for healing spells and is an especially good kind of wand as it also helps to focus the energy very well. Applewood wands tend to choose those who are slightly immature or have a great youthful spirit. That's you. The wands tend to not respond well to those who do not fit its temperament and in fact are very unpopular among wand thieves as it tends to ignore the orders of others altogether.
Nice. Aw.
John, did you take it yet?
I got a maple wand with a dragon heart string.
Ooh, you got a maple wand like me.
Yeah.
What's a dragon heart?
And a dragon heart ring.
You guys don't mind reading
for hexes or for dueling, not to mention fire magic. They choose a witch or a wizard who is strong, not only physically, but emotionally, who usually has very strong opinions on things.
Nice.
So they often tend to be strong-willed and thick-headed as well.
Well, I guess you could say my determination for Hufflepuff is pretty thick-headed, so I don't know.
Well, mine was Dragonheart String as well, and I agree with that.
All Dragonheart String except for me?
Well, what was John?
It was Dragonheart String.
I haven't done it.
He hasn't
yet.
Taken it. He's just...
Oh, John! Do the test right now. It takes 2 seconds.
Take two
Where
seconds.
Is this test, for Pete's sake?
Put the link.
What?
What link? I don't have a link.
I'm gonna.
I'll give you a
I'm
link.
Gonna hurt your face.
Here.
Wow.
Go ahead, do it.
How long does it take?
We'll talk while you do your test. I'm curious.
I can do a baby cry.
That's you.
That's me.
Wow.
That's upsetting.
That's upsetting. I love just the cold, calculated delivery. That's upsetting.
Uh-huh. Something feels very wrong about that.
I
oh, I'm sorry.
I can meow like a cat, too, because it's very similar. But I'll spare you. I don't want to upset you.
Don, you taking a test?
I'm taking the test. Which of these describes my personality? Fiery, passionate, beautiful, serene, strong, or adaptable?
Strong, probably.
I was kind of thinking strong, maybe.
I'd say either passionate or strong.
Yeah, passionate or strong.
Yeah.
I took passionate for me.
Me too.
Yeah. What do you like better, gold, silver, brown? Gold, I guess.
You like?
I like white gold. I don't really like yellow gold. Gross.
You can go silver.
Go pick silver.
I guess I'll have to go silver, even though it...
If it's on.
Which leisure activity do I enjoy the most? Sleeping, watching TV, hiking, swimming, reading, creative things, muggle internet.
Muggle internet? That's amazing. You're muggle internet for
I
sure.
I probably have to go with hiking. Okay.
What?
Next. I'm kidding. You could only have one wish. What would you wish for? Money, power, beauty. I guess I have to say contentment. Though I do like to be entertained.
Okay, that's fair.
I don't know. What do you think? Entertainment or contentment?
I think you'd like entertainment.
Yeah.
I guess. Well, that sounds crappy though. But
just be honest. It doesn't matter.
Come on.
I don't want people to think bad of me.
Well, why do you have to say your answer on there?
Because it's fun. Which is your favorite holiday? Hanukkah, Christmas, Halloween, Easter, Independence Day. Oh, this is hard. I love Christmas.
That wasn't hard for me. Christmas was this.
Christmas is mine too, just because that's the only thing we get together, and I love that.
And Halloween.
But Halloween's my second favorite because I love dressing up. It's the one year you can wear a cloak.
What I'm 14 inches, like I said, I'm huge. Maple and Griffin Feather Corps.
Ooh, what's Griffin Feather mean? All three
so
you guys
maple
are maple.
Like me.
Yeah.
That's weird.
I'm apple.
And you got a griffin feather core, which is the head and front used in wands or witches or wizards who possess great strength, whether physically, magically, or emotionally. These wands are especially good for both offensive and defensive magic, so basically you rule the world.
I kick ace.
You would be an Auror.
Well, Dalish needs all the help he can get, so I guess that works.
Oh, he doesn't need any darn help.
Sorry.
I wonder what they got out of the what favorite holiday question that was. That's weird.
Yeah, what did you get out of that? I'm confused there.
It's more of just what you enjoy and what your Christmas.
Yeah, how do they attribute points to that?
Yeah, I mean, how do you pick like St. Patrick's Day? I mean, that's kind of like a narrow kind of thing.
It's because you
it's like
green
my favorite
things and maybe alcohol.
My favorite holiday was like Halloween. I would have been like 9 inches or something. That I'm 14.
Alright,
no,
I'm
you
well, if you
hey, what'd you guys think of all these fabulous auditions this week?
They're wonderful.
Great.
I had the great pleasure of listening to some of them as John was putting the piece together, and also in this week's show, and I'm really impressed with the caliber we're getting.
Yeah, and here's the thing, guys and gals, there'll be one more round of these next week before we start doing the callbacks, etc. But if you don't hear your audition on the show, fear not. Some of you, while we are considering for these particular lead characters, there will undoubtedly be roles there. Some of you auditioned for very specific parts, like Hagrid or Grubbly Clank or a villain or a grandma or whatever, which was very interesting of you to do so, but that doesn't mean that we're not going to actually have those kinds of roles in the script, and then if we do, we very well might be emailing you about it, so you're not totally. Yeah, exciting stuff. Exciting
and
stuff.
And I will be reprising the role as the wizard robot.
Good!
Yay! Awesome.
All right, well, is that it for this week, guys and gals?
Well, it's
believe so. Can we repeat that crafty announcement?
Yes.
I think we shall.
What is it?
Who knows?
No, what it isn't, is that they're doing our own craft along. It's a new feature that we're going to have, and every 2 months there's going to be a new craft. Ooh. Right now, this month, they're making their own wand, and we have a whole thing on
that's
our
appropriate that we talk
website.
About our
we have
wands.
A whole section. It's really cool. Yeah, we were talking about wands. And you can do one at home, and you can, I don't know, you can, like, decorate it up and stuff and whatever, but it's really kind of thing. If you have other questions about, they have all sorts of things in our own crafting section, or if you want to do, like, your own scarves and all that kind of stuff. That's really pretty fun.
Okay.
Yeah, you can do it along if you're not... I mean, you can buy your own things at home, of course, and then you can go do these activities with other wizards here in the
Leaky
Cauldron.
All
very
back.
Cool.
That's pretty flippin' sweet.
Crafty. I like it.
Well, guys, this has been the best time
I agree.
We've ever done.
Oh, you didn't go there.
You did it. I beat you.
Oh. LOL.
Raffle.
Raffle.
Frankie.
Yeah, 150 shows. So much has happened over 3 years of this. What we should do is, because we really, this one kind of snuck up on us, we should do a 3-year anniversary.
Yeah,
deal.
I agree.
In August. How
far away is that going to be?
August.
It's now May, John.
Oh,
yeah. Get working now. John.
All the editors are cringing
yeah.
right
like,
now.
No.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's impossible. It's impossible to dig into 3 years of material.
You know what we need to do?
What?
Firstly, you all should have seen by now all of our cute little drawings by Mr. Frack of the Pottercast heroes, which are not us, actually, of course.
Pottercast heroes?
Our elves and our editors.
Yay!
Whee! I thought you meant Frack had done a picture of us as the heroes, guys.
And that would be sweet!
I got very confused for a minute.
Like capes.
I'm sorry.
That'd be awesome.
But yes, our unsung Pottercast heroes.
They are.
No, our Pottercast elves, probably being Pottercast elves, have a few favorite moments from the shows. So hopefully they can help if we're doing a little highlight show, like we did last time, to pull together some of their favorite moments.
Yeah, and I'd love for our fans to take part in our forums, which are linked on the bottom of our posting on Pottercast.com, to contribute what they think their favorites have been over the past year.
Yeah.
Hopefully by July, we'll be able to start putting together.
You know what, you know what we should call it?
It might be, actually, Sue. It might be 13 and a half weeks away.
You know what I want to call it? I want to call the little highlight show Pottercast, whatever. Remember that time. RTT for short.
That's a Michael Jackson song.
So bad.
RTT.
Okay.
Work it. Alright, that's enough.
Work it.
I guess until next week, ladies and gents, keep twiddling those dials.
The next password will be socks.
Keep each other safe.
Keep safe.
Good night.
We've missed it.
W is free.
I confess myself disappointed.
Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to bed.
Great Scott, no wonder. Look at the time. We've been here nearly 4 hours. Spooky how the time flies when one's having fun.
This week's podcast was produced by the Pottercast Trio and Steve Bonnet. Thanks to our Scribby 5 team, Aaron and Nina, and thanks, as always, to our awesome transcription elves for transcribing this and all our other episodes on Pottercast.com. For more information about the show and how to contact us and be a part of future episodes, visit Pottercast.com.